Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
I went up to Ballykeenan Farm in Jerby to speak to Thomas Cleeter. He's a young sheep farmer who took on the land by himself 4 years ago but has been working it with his dad for more than 20 years. I'd initially gone there to talk to him about coastal erosion after he shared his concerns about the lack of action to slow down its impact in the area. But we also ended up talking about everything from the importance of the island's food security, the wider challenges for the farming industry here, and also about the struggles many farmers are having with their mental health.
So have you grown up on the farm, have you? Or?
Yeah, I'm from a family farm. I'm sixth or seventh generation farmer. And I've worked on the family farm for years, and then I got the chance to take this farm over about 4 or 5 years ago now. So we took it over and haven't looked back since, to be honest.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, what a spot as well.
It's so level here as well. It's just nice, rectangular fields, really easy to put fences up because none of our fields are normal fences. All our fields are electric fenced,
right?
So it's like to be able to put electric up, having square fields is a dream.
Yeah, I can imagine. And how many sheep have you got? Is it just sheep farming?
We run about 140 sheep at the minute. Hopefully we want to get it up to about 200-220, ideally, because that's what the ground needs to run on. But at the minute, it's when sheep are £200 plus a head to buy in.
No.
It's very expensive to up numbers by 100.
Oh my gosh, that feels like it's gone up so much. I mean, I don't ever really remember it being that expensive to buy a sheep.
Yeah, it's quality breeds out, and especially since the borders closed to imports, it's meant that you can't just go away and get some sheep as well. You've got to buy on island, and that's your only options really.
Yeah.
I'm going to apologise for this bit of rain.
Don't worry, I wasn't coming here expecting 5-star luxury. It's just beautiful, and all the rabbits jumping over there as well. So is it just you running the place, or is there sort of a few of you?
Just me. So I run it myself, and then my mum helps out at the weekends when she can. So it's a handy little setup, but yeah, it's a busy life when you're working this. You've got Emmy as well, and you've got to try and manage everything. And then we do an open farm just to add more to the list of things that we need to do. We just decided to do, let's do open farms and open to the public to let people come and experience the farm.
Which is a lovely thing to do, and also I suppose it, like, you know, gets your name out there a bit more as well, but then it is all of the other stuff that then comes with it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all the health and safety stuff is a big one. Everything involved with dealing with the public, and especially after this crypto outbreak, it's been
absolutely
crazy kind of thing. You know, we know no one's got ill from us. We have really high hygiene facilities during our Lyman Live that we did, but it's just, yeah, it takes it to a new level. And then when people get ill from it and public health just say watch out for all farms, and everyone's like, yeah, and I've spoken to a few farms that open to the public and we're like, yeah, I wish we hadn't all been painted with the same brush, kind of thing. Like, I wish they'd have said, make sure there's good hand washing facilities,
exactly,
and stuff like that, not just be aware of it, be careful, be worried kind of thing. Because we've noticed for ourselves, like, it was a massive hit on our bookings kind of thing, because everyone's just gone super cautious because of it.
And especially when it's something that you only really do once a year, because, you know, you only land once a year, so then it takes a big hit for that whole season, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were meant to be going for about 9 weeks, but our tups decided to not play ball with our breeding system and decided that breaking out and getting to the girls early was the right thing to do. So we were meant to land for 9 weeks in total with two split groups, and we ended up lambing all of the sheep over 4 weeks in total, which was an absolute mayhem kind of thing. When we had storms after storms, we had non-stop rain, it was just sheds full. Like, you'd clear 15 pens out at lambing time and you'd go, right, okay, I'm good for a few days now, and then by that evening there was only 4 pens left, and then by midnight there was no pens left, and then by 4 a.m. there was no pens left, and still sheep lambing, and sheep getting muddled up with lambs, and you then try and move everyone around constantly to make it work and make ones that aren't mothering a lamb quickly into a pen and get ones that are good mothers out into the general population of the sheep just to get some pen space again. Yeah, it was a little bit stressful, we'll not lie about that. But yeah, and then as we've noticed this year, I've not grazed this field in a year because we lost the fence down there, and then last time I come up and I saw this and I went, it's not good.
Yeah.
So it's like it's lost another big chunk. I wouldn't want to do anything with this field. So it's like this is probably one of our driest fields, and we would normally put like bales along places to add shelter because it's so exposed here. But if you add bales, because it's so dry, really good runoff, too good it turns out. But if you had bales out here, it was really useful and handy to just have that area as a using lambs area with bales as shelter, good drainage. It was fine. And then, yeah, since we've lost this, I don't really want to use this field anymore. It's not exactly safe. Because we run on electric, this is one of our only areas that we had pig wired. And I wouldn't trust sheep to break through the other side of the electric and climb down the cliff face and then get a phone call from the police to say that there's sheep on the beach. Genuinely my worst nightmare, the thought of trying to chase sheep on the beach to try and get hold of them, because there's no chance you'll get hold of them if they're on the beach.
I mean, it's a long old beach as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes on for quite a while. Either way they go, yeah. You know, if you get them to split... Yeah, you've kind of got to just take a decision on who you're going to save and who's going to be allowed to run the beach and the countryside then for the next 6 months, because you're never going to find them again once they've sprinted away from you, kind of thing. So it's not the greatest spot. I mean, even if you hop out and have a look at it, it's...
I mean, it's such a beautiful spot, though. I mean, especially really on a day like today.
Yeah, it's gorgeous here, right here. One of my favourite spots is you just come in the summer and just sit and chill. But
you can see
you can see how green it is at the bottom still as well, because that's how much has been taken out, and it's not going to stop.
And you can see the fence here. I mean, there's a gap between the land here and the fence of what's that, about 4 feet, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as it was getting closer, I was trying to take the fence down so that we didn't have this happen. But this chunk, there was about 2 or 3 metres on the other side of it last time I was up here seeing it. And it's just wiped out in one hit. And I'm like, I'm not even going to try and recover that fence now, because that's too far gone. And then it takes a real good underbite underneath. So it's literally just a bit of grass that's holding that bit together. So as you're walking, you don't know how far you can actually go before you're going to go down with it, because it's not going to take 80, 90 kilo weight of me walking along it to get as close as I can to that fence.
And that's the thing, we're stood quite near to it now, and I'm going, oh God, like, you know, because it's genuinely that kind of precarious, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's not nice. If you're scared of heights, it's not a place where you want to be, like. It's
a big drop.
It's a really big drop, but it's just how green, like, even for me, it's seeing how much of the grass that was on the other side is now down at the bottom of the cliff on the beach. It's just like, yeah, that's not so great. That's really taken a good chunk of it out now.
And what? So you've been farming here for, was it 4 years? Did you say?
I've been farming on this farm entirely for 4 years, but I've worked this farm for about
with my father, who I took the farm over from, about, coming up to around 20 odd years now, I think.
Wow.
So it was like, my father put this fence up, and he put it up, and we brought it back in about a good 20 odd metres from where it was, and, you know, to be like, oh, you were well covered for it. I don't think we thought it was going to lose like a metre a year kind of thing on average now. It's definitely speeded up. Like, it was quite settled for quite a long time, and now it's like it's gone into overdrive, really. Like, it's going very quickly into the sea.
Is there any idea of what's caused it to speed up? Is it just the, you know, we've had some fairly extreme weather over the past few years as well in terms of storms and things like that? Is that what's making more of an impact, or do you not know?
I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I can say, like, I'm not a meteorologist, but every time we have a storm, we lose a bit. So I'm putting two and two together in that sense, that there's more savage storms we're having are just starting to take more chunks out of it, because there's bigger waves. Like, there's times now where if we've got a storm coming in, especially if it's westerly, I cannot come out into this field and stand up straight. Like, you're standing on a full 45 degree angle just to be able to keep balance, because the wind is that strong and powerful hitting you. So it's like, yeah, more winds like that, more high waves coming further up the beach, and yeah, it's just taking it out. And because all of this is just sand, there's no actual kind of bedrock or anything underneath it, so it's just really easy for it to take out and take down.
And so then what impact does that have on you? I mean, you've already said that you can't really use this field now because you're, you know, scared about your livestock, but what happens if it keeps going at this rate?
We lose more ground. That's realistically the end result of this. Is we're just going to lose more and more farmland. We're going to lose more and more houses. I mean, when I put my post on to say that this had happened, we had someone down in Balaf message us with photos of, they tried to put a retaining wall up and the sea just took the retaining wall out because it was just, there's not hardly anything we can do to stop it kind of thing.
So I was going to say, I mean, what is there a solution? What can be done about it?
I mean, I've no idea, to be honest, but in my opinion, it would be worth looking into, realistically. I know our commissioners in Derby have got this slight obsession with the steps that go down to the beach, and putting wooden steps in all the time, and I think they've been broken three or four times now. I'm not 100% sure, but instead of actually looking and going, okay, this is happening all along Derby, is it worth us looking into something or research or anything that just kind of stops it a little bit would be helpful.
And because the tricky part is as well is that a lot of the land here is rural, is farmland,
yeah.
it's working land, and so there are people who are going to be losing money as a result of this, and losing land and losing property, and ultimately potentially in the long run losing the farm.
Yeah, like if it keeps coming the way it's coming, we'll lose the use of about, we've already lost 7 acres here that I wouldn't want to put stock into. If it keeps going, we lose another 15 or so. So that'd be 25 acres in total we lose in a really short space of time. If it keeps coming as rapid, like I say, a metre a year since we put the fence up is the average, but this is moving a lot quicker. It's moved a lot quicker in the last 4 years since I fully took the place over, and it's just like really coming in now, and if it keeps going at the speed it's gone in the last 4 years, it will be through this field, will be gone, it'll be on that, it's taking that hedge out, and it'll be into the next field kind of thing, is how quickly it's starting to move.
And then the scary thing then as well is that you're then losing land, reducing the value of the property. Who's going to want to buy a property that's falling away from your eyes, basically, as well? And so even if there was a possibility of relocation, which for most farmers there isn't, but even if there was, it then makes all of that side of things really difficult as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it drives land price up through the roof. Like, land price at the minute is already very expensive. Like, we're incredibly lucky that the landlord we've got here wants to help a young person get started and get going in farming. And so many people don't have that aspiration. They're like, the highest bidder gets it, because people need the money at the end of the day. So it's kind of one of them that the more land we lose, the more the price is going to go up, the more it's going to be harder to get into farming, the more harder it's going to be to make a living out of farming, because everyone's going to be on reduced land. And as well, it affects food security, because we're losing fields, and that's going to have an impact on what's produced on here on the island.
And with the way the world's going at the moment, actually trying to be as self-sufficient as we can be as an island is going to be crucial, isn't it, in the years to come, really?
Oh yeah, like if we're not self-sufficient for our own produce, then what's the point in living here? You know, it's like, I question it sometimes when we go to Tesco's and there's nothing on the shelf because the boat hasn't sailed, you know, and you're like, well, there is stuff produced here, but is there really enough produced here? You know, it's getting to the point now where you struggle to get stuff, you get the normal commodities, even with the diesel, like, I'm out of diesel in that truck.
I've got a diesel car, that's why I'm in the electric, I'm in the EV, the work EV today,
yeah,
for that reason.
I was literally just like, I didn't even notice it, like, I'm that busy doing stuff here, trying to sort the farm out, trying to keep on top of the tourism side of it, and having people at the house and having people on the farm, and doing all the paperwork that needs to be done for everything. I didn't even notice that there was a fuel shortage until I literally went to go and get fuel in the truck, and everywhere was out of diesel, and I was like, well, I can't use the farm truck now, I'm going to have to walk everywhere. Which then meant I spent even more time doing jobs I shouldn't have been spending doing, because I'm walking up and down the farm to go and check all the stock and make sure everything's okay, and then trying to use the tractor where I can. But that's through, as everything happens in farming, that's through issues as soon as the diesel went up, and the sheep ate the valve for some reason on the tyre. They broke in and ate the valve, and they had to get someone out to fix that. And then it's throwing a brake issue with the brake pressure, so we can't use it again. So it's just like, as soon as you rely on something, it goes wrong in farming virtually.
And do you think enough is being done to try and at least investigate options of saving some of this coastline, and also just support for farmers in general? Is enough being done at a higher government level?
I feel like there's always more that can be done in terms of stopping this. I feel like, in a way, the attitude towards it is probably more around, well, we don't know what to do, so what's the point, kind of thing. Just grin and bear it, in a sense. It'd be nice if there was something that could be done. Again, I don't know, because I'm a farmer. I'm not a meteorologist or a soil person to stop how much is coming off. But I'm sure there's something that can be done to slow it down, at least. And then support for farmers, it's a tricky one, really, because everyone's in the same boat, and yeah, it's tricky. Like, fertiliser price at the minute's gone through the roof. It's hard to get hold of fertiliser now because stocks have been ransacked virtually, in the UK and on Ireland. You know, it's quite difficult. We've been told about a 2 or 3 month wait on fertiliser now to get it for our place. We only need a couple of bags. We don't need huge amounts, but it's a couple of months to wait for it now. So it's one of them. But yeah, I feel like more could be done, in the sense of, instead of focusing so much on the environmental side, like, this is an environmental impact that there should be something put towards. Like, even if we're putting something into it ourselves, we're going to do it because we're losing the ground out of it. But there's so much thing on, like, you know, wild bird seeds in fields. What's the real, like, we've got lovely hedgerows all over the island. Why do we need grants to put wild bird seeds in the fields? Like, this isn't granted, this isn't looked at all at the minute, as far as I'm aware. So yeah, it'd be good if something was done about it, but I don't particularly hold my breath sometimes, to be honest.
And what's the future looking like for you and here on the farm, and the farm's future?
So thankfully for ourselves, we've diversified into agritourism kind of thing and opening the farm up for people to come and see on a private basis. So we have people come in and they get to experience a bit of the farm themselves, one-to-one with us. There's no one else present, you know, they get their time. So we're lucky in that sense that we don't make huge amounts on it, but we make enough to put back into the farm and help the farm out. You know, our lamb bottle feeding, our shepherd bottle sessions that we were doing, was literally just paying for the site to be active, what we have to pay for all of the booking system to be online, and then just the milk powder and hot water. That was all we were realistically charging. It wasn't making a huge profit out of it. It was just trying to cover the cost of how much they cost to raise, and especially having them as our own stock, it's like we know where they've come from, we know what they're like, and we know if they're safe to be handled by the public. So that sense, we're lucky that we've diversified in that area. But I think realistically, if we looked at the books for just the sheep on the farm, we're not going to make a profit for the next 10 years kind of thing. Like it's a really hard, like, land price is up and it's a good price, especially at the minute, but if you take the likes of last year, we had that really intense heat wave and drought which has resulted in knocking the fertility of all of our sheep. So when we expect about 230 to 240 lambs in a year, we got 160 born. So we're down that many, so we're going to be down thousands at the end of the year just from the sheep enterprise to keep it going kind of thing. So it'd be a massive, massive loss this year if we didn't have the tourism side of it as well. So I think that's realistically future of farming is going to be diversification in a sense. Or I mean, I know a lot of farmers now that you just don't make a living out of the farm. You've got to get another job.
And you can see why people aren't going into the industry, because, you know, why would you?
Yeah, it is true that it's a lifestyle choice. It's not a sensible choice in any sense anymore. It's you do it because you love it. You don't do it because you want to make money out of anything. There's no way of profiting from it in that sense. You know, it's one of the things. It's an industry that's just going to keep struggling a bit, I think. I don't think there's any going to be any easy answer in the next few years for, you know, the future of farming in a sense. It's one of them. But for us, we're just going to try and keep carrying on. And we always review our own situation because we tenancy farm. We can look at the situation, but we take a year-by-year approach to whether or not it's worth carrying on in a sense, because it does get to a point where you've got to look at it and go, if I've not taken a wage for years, what am I doing this for? You know, you're putting your back out, you're putting your hip out, trying to get stuff done.
Sacrificing social life, yeah. Like, you know, family time, you have to put, especially just you on the farm.
Yeah.
There's no one else to do anything. No. If anything needs doing, you've got to be the one to do it. Yeah. So, you know, it's a massive ask and it's a massive responsibility.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting anything from it, then...
Yeah, it is difficult in that sense. I mean, for us as well, for myself, it was part of the thing of opening up to the public as well, because I don't see people. You know, I work out here all day and it's beautiful to work out here and I have my dogs and, you know, I have good days, I have bad days, but I spend virtually nearly every day on my own. I see my mother at the farmhouse when we're done for the day, and then I go up into my flat for the night. And it's like, it's nice, but I don't get a social life hardly.
How does that affect you? I mean, are you okay?
I'm okay. I mean, it's that thing, like, we opened up to the public, not just to show the public, but so I could see people. I could actually have human interaction in a day, because you just don't get it normally. So in that sense, like, it's really good. It's really helped my mental health as well to be able to see people and speak to people. And everyone's been absolutely brilliant that comes. Like, they love it. They, you know, we do worry sometimes that, you know, that sometimes they are coming to the farmhouse because we have to abide by the health and safety regulations and stuff. We have to provide hot water. Like, you've got to provide hot water hand washing. You've got to provide clean facilities. There's a lot you've got to provide for people. So having the people at the farmhouse is the only way we can do it, because it's thousands to get, like, mobile hand washing and hot water pumps and all of that stuff set up. So we do worry sometimes that people are going to be disappointed when they come out and see, oh, we've just come into a house virtually. You know, we can see the farm, but we can't actually, you know, you're not on the farm straight away. We take people out to the farm, but we don't start on the farm. And we've got the shed at home with the lambs in that people get to see. But we do worry that people are going to be like, oh, this isn't really what I was expecting. But everyone's been absolutely brilliant to the point where we can open up and do more things now. We're not just doing, you know, seeing the little lambs at lambing time. We're opening up to do more things through the year. And, you know, in that sense, it really helps us because it's an extra income. It's a social side for me. And people are loving it. And that's all we want to do. We just want to deliver something that people are enjoying, kind of thing. So it's really handy, but yeah, it takes a, I know a lot of people, it takes a toll on your mental health when you're not seeing people through the day.
And especially when you're not seeing people, so you're isolated, but then also you're trying to single-handedly manage a farm in very tough conditions. You can see how mental health suddenly very quickly can decline in people.
Yeah, I mean, we knew at the start of lambing virtually that we were going to be down on numbers, we were going to be down on lambs this year. And as lambing started, we saw it immediately that we were down on lamb numbers of what we were expecting and what we would have hoped for. And then that hit me. And then we had the storms, we had lambs out in the storms. We couldn't bring them in, we had no space in the sheds. Every shed was full, every pen was full. We had 60 odd sheep with lambs at foot out in the fields. The only field we had that was somewhat dry at the time, we were trying to top them up with extra feed because there was virtually no grass left because it was just eaten off so quickly by them. And then we had the storms coming one after the other, rain non-stop, and that really hit me. And we really hummed and hawed whether or not we showed people that side of the farm and what was going on, and it was our best reaction that we've had from people of trying to support us and offering to support us, because it was just absolutely soul destroying when you're going out and you're trying to save lambs from just the wet and nowhere dry. We were rolling feed bales out just to give them somewhere dry to sit down. It was absolutely horrendous. I mean, usually in the last few years, we've had quite a dry January. It's been quite good. That was a standout January for how wet it was. And it just really, really hit me mentally. And I think I came close to just saying, we're going to need to sell because I can't do this anymore. We'll just sell what's in the shed left. Just get someone to come in, trailer them out, take them somewhere else and get the sheep and lambs off the field. I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then the outpouring of support we had from people was incredible, that it boosted me back up to keep going, kind of thing. Because, you know, you don't realize how much people appreciate farmers until something like that goes wrong, and then you just get support from everywhere, like people messaging, is there anything we can do for you, is there anything you need, is there anything we can get for you, do you want to use me stable, do you want to put sheep in me garage. You know, we literally had messages of every which way it was, which was amazing community spirit.
And I think it's so easy as well, isn't it? Because it's so easy to fall into the trap of going, oh, I've just got to sort this out myself. I can't ask anybody for help. I've just got to get my head up and get on with it. But actually the power of just going, you know what, this is really hard and yeah, I'm finding this really hard. And then you suddenly find all these other people who are either A, also finding it hard and can relate to you, or B, are there to help you. And it's amazing just that simple act of saying, this is really tough, and what an impact that can have.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely that thing now, speaking up nowadays is so good for you, I think. Especially in farming, like, you know, I know a lot of farmers that just don't speak up, they don't say what's going on. I have it with my mates even, like I've got a mate and they message me when stuff's starting to get a bit tough, and I'm like, right, just drop everything, go for a pint and have a chat. And that's the thing at the end of the day, like, you know, going and having a chat with someone, even just to vent out what's going on, can just settle you. you know, I find that myself, and I know other people find it as well. Just go and speak to someone. It settles you down. It calms you. And also, you can put it into perspective easier. You overthink it a lot in your own head, but when you speak it out loud to someone else, you don't even need them to say anything. You just need to hear yourself saying it to someone to then put it into perspective that, yeah, it's not always the end of the world kind of thing.
And a problem shared is a problem halved, isn't it? Exactly. You know, that's the saying, and yeah. It's true.
Yeah, especially in farming. Like, I think it's an industry where the more you're all pulled together, the better off you're going to be kind of thing, you know. We always want to try and help anyone out that we can. And, like, even when we had our tough spell going on, and we had so many people, like, getting us stuff from places. We had bags of feed, we had colostrum, we had milk powder, just people buying stuff for us to help us out. And it was like, we got to the end of it, and I went, right, okay, we've got all this left over. Who needs it? Who's desperate for colostrum? We've got some tubs of colostrum sitting here that we don't need anymore. And they were donated to us, so we don't have a right to sell them or to do anything with them or to store them. We can't store them because it goes out of date. So you're like, right, who wants it? Just let us know, come and get it, or we'll drop it up to you if you're having a tough time of it. And yeah, it's thing, like, we struggle to actually give it away because farmers are so proud, they don't want to receive handouts, but we managed to get someone to take it in the end. But it's like things like that, you know, you just help each other out over here, but sometimes it's hard to help people out because some people are like, I can do this.
And you don't know they're struggling, ultimately. Yeah. You know, they don't say, so no. How can you know to help?
Yeah, you just want to, in a way, you've just got to keep nagging people, I think, and just saying, I'm going to help you, tough, I'm coming to help you, kind of thing. So it's an industry where the more we talk, the more better we're all going to be, because at the end of the day, mental health is going to be an issue for the industry going forwards even. So the support for each other is, you know, we all know what each other are going through, we all know what's happening, because everyone in farming knows what's going on their farm is likely going to be having the same impact on someone else's farm. So the more you're there for them, you know, hopefully the more they're there for you as well. So it's handy in that aspect, but yeah, you just gotta, you know, reach out a bit more, I think, in the industry.
You don't have to do everything by yourself. I think that's the key, yeah. Isn't it? You know?
Yeah. If you keep trying to do things by yourself, I've seen it in myself as well. You just burn out. You know, you keep trying, and then something starts to go wrong, and then that every time in farming it spirals. That it's never one thing that goes wrong. It's then a series of events that then spiral and go wrong. So you've just got to reach out as best you can and ask for help. I mean, even myself, like the other day, we had lambs in, we had the whole day just went wrong. And we had to ring someone to ask them to come and help me shear the back end of the lambs before they went, because we can't send off mucky lambs. And he was on his way out and he rang and said, I'm on my way. And I went, no, everything's going wrong. This is going dreadful. I'm down and everything. I'm just going to throw what I can in, and that's it. And he went, do you want me to come up and give you a hand? That was his first instinct, was to ask, do I want a hand with what I was doing? Because I was getting that uptight, because I was getting really stressed and everything was just going wrong. And like, you know, I said, no, I'm okay. Going to load two more up and then we'll be back at the house for you to do the shearing. And he did that, and he come out, not one word of complaint. And he was a good lad, got them done. And yeah, it's the little things like that where you can just help stuff out. But if you know something's going wrong, you're going to offer to help, you know. So it's nice to have that in farming, I think, and especially with the generations coming through now as well. Like, and I think a lot of them are more open to talking, and a lot of them are open to help you out when you're in a struggle and in a pickle kind of thing.
Covered some topics there, haven't we? We've gone from everything, but it's amazing. It's just great to talk about it as well.
Yeah, it's nice to get it out in the open in the way, because it is an industry where you're just ploughing through all the time, and when things go wrong, you do just overthink it a little bit. You do think it is the end of the world,
It's easy to see why.
Yeah, it is. It's really easy, and you know, it's one of those things where it can really hit you hard. And I know for myself, I want to do more on mental health, for, you know, in agriculture, especially with doing the open farm stuff. I want to show the public that, you know, there is issues with farmers' mental health. But it's like, it's showcasing that it's a difficult job without trying to sound whiny. When you speak to people that aren't involved in it, you don't want to come across as, you know, old farmers are always moaning about something. Usually there's a really good reason that we're moaning about something. Especially like, you know, I get people, I had someone in the past kind of say to me, oh, well, you complain in 1 minute it's too wet, and then you complain and it's too dry. And I'm like, yeah, like, we literally need that Goldilocks weather all the time. And when it goes too much either way, it has a serious impact on us. Like, you know, there's fields even now, we've not had serious rain for a few weeks now. I don't remember the last time we had like a torrential downpour that persisted, but half my fields I still can't get into with the vehicles. I can't go through them. And as I discovered the other day, when I just thought I'd do a lap around the headlands to check the fences were okay, and I got the truck stuck, and it's like, how is it still wet? What is going on? How, you know, so it's like, it doesn't just, you know, come in one place and then go again. It's still sitting there, and especially the water, it just doesn't shift at all virtually. So it shows how much rain was done in the start of the year. Like, but you know, everyone's going through that. Everyone's got that same thing with a lot of their ground. You know, there's fields around here that are the exact same as us. We know fields down south that, you know, they're having the same issues. You know,
so I was going to say, I mean, that's difficult for any farmer, let alone when you've got a farmer and you're losing a meter a year, you know. And I'm assuming when the ground's wet, it's probably more at risk of going as well.
Yeah, I mean, out here it was one of our driest fields, but I think now it's more helping the sea claim it quicker. I mean, it's one of the things, this year could have just been a one of them fluke years where it was a perfect storm of how much rain was sitting on top of you, how many storms were hitting it, and it's just taken more than it would have normally. That could be the case. Again, I haven't got a clue. Like, you know, I just know that wasn't like that last time I was up here, and then in February time it was gone. So it does hit a little bit when you see it. But yeah, I think it is one of the things, the more water on the land now is just going to cause more runoff, and more issues, you know. But it's like, for me, in a way, I'm lucky in a sense that I'm just not able to get onto fields because I need to put fencing up. There's boys that are trying to plough, they're trying to plant, they're trying to put spring crops in. They've got winter crops that are drowning and, you know, not going to really do for the summer now. And then with fertiliser price, there's boys looking at it going, I bought it in the back end of 2025. Do I sell it now? Because there's more profit in selling it than there is actually using it and putting it in the ground to grow something that you don't know what the price is going to be in August or July when you go to combine it. But right now, fertiliser is guaranteed return. So it's one of them things, you know. I know a lot of farmers in the UK as well, I'm pretty sure I'm seeing on TikTok and that, they're saying, like, what do I do? Do I use this fertilizer? I've got a shed full of fertilizer. Do I use it, or do I just sell it? Because it's now an extra £200 a bag on what I bought it at, and I make more money on that than I would putting the seeds in. So it's one of them. But yeah, I think in farming, in a way as well, like, you always look at it as if someone's doing worse. You know, someone's going through it worse than you are a lot of the time. And in a way, you've got to remember that, you know, when we're going through our tough time of lambing, someone's going through it a lot worse because they're lambing outside somewhere. You know, someone's got no shelter at all. Someone's got sheep that are swimming. You know, everyone's got their own things of going wrong. So it's, it's one of them, really, that you've just got to do your best in. See how it goes.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.